Hey, Greg, my name's Mike. Love the show. Love all the guests, especially love Freeman. Paul Hellyer was awesome. Wondering if you could plug a show for me called Our Big Dumb Mouth, seeing as how I know you're a man for the people. Keep up the good work, and looking forward to the new episode. Thanks.
In the 1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of fire. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
Here we go, our side chatters. How the hell are you? Better every day, I hope. Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and trying to find some inspiration and relief in a system of rule looking to suck out every last drop. But we're trying not to let them get us down. From sunny San Diego, you can call me the Carlwood, and today we're focusing on some major areas where we see occult references, rites, and rituals where they probably shouldn't be. But folks, it's no secret by now that our planet's puppet masters have a plethora of tools at their disposal in the quest for humanity's control, and we've identified many patterns and programs from their dominant playbook, but few are more clued in than today's guests. From magic rituals and Hollywood mind control slaves to secret space wars and the technological singularity, Freeman and his wife Jamie are the conspiracy culture power couple behind the content at freemantv.com, and of course Weird Stuff Volumes 1 and 2. I always have a great time talking to him, and I'm psyched to have him back. Are you ready for a perfect storm? My friends and yours. Guys, how the hell are you?
Hey, good. I like the Katy Perry reference there.
Oh, you got to.
Are you ready for it? Yeah, fill me with your poison. Let's go.
Yeah. Man, there is so much to talk about. The elite's plans are churning, CERN is whirling, and the symbolism seems more aggressive than ever. And it's probably a great place to start because you guys have been decoding this symbolism and watching the messages that come out through the mass media for so long that you've actually had some predictions lately that have been pretty damn accurate, right?
Yeah. In definite relationship to even either of the major award ceremonies or the Super Bowl. So, you know, the big difference here is that a lot of people get their information via the internet. And there are a few mistakes in the internet. Molech is not an owl, has never been an owl, right? But these type of, or the Illuminati, the very term, the name, the use of that is a misnomer. It's a false flag in its own way. So when we start to look at the puzzle, we always have to dig deeper and actually crack open a book or two, check out some archaeological, anthropological information to really get to the source material so that you understand. But what we've learned is that it's very difficult to derail misrepresentation. So every time I try to discuss Molech not being an owl, you know, I get this huge battle, and we sit here and we look at the actual reference documentation. We are reading the magical books. We are reading the Typhonian trilogy and getting deep into the archaeological history of the Sumerian gods and things of this nature, the hand signs and gestures that people are talking about. We have gone in and codified and identified them so that people can actually feel strong in what they're saying about these situations. So as a prime example, when we began discussing the Mark of the Beast, now this was a little piece that we pulled up out of the Typhonian trilogy. Now there are orders of magical practices that are integrated into our society, our culture, our corporations, and our government. And One of the ones that we've been focusing on is the Typhonian order of the Ordo Templi Orientis. Now, I know that sounds all crazy, but the Ordo Templi Orientis, translated, means the Order of the Eastern Templars. And it was a magical order that claimed a descendancy from the Illuminati of Bavaria all the way back to the Knights Templar, and is the current magical order that is mostly referenced in our high-profile rituals at things such as music awards or the Super Bowl. And so as we were digging into these books, now I'll tell you, you're reading some weird stuff. I mean, you're like learning about the Mauve Zone and places. Now, okay.
Trans-Plutonian magic is what it's
called. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Because the Typhonian order is the specific order of magic that wants to channel extraterrestrials.
Ah.
And this group has been around since Aleister Crowley, 1904. And has been in action and is being practiced by so many of our celebrities. We know that, like, David Bowie, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, they're all members of the OTO, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, David Bowie, when he sings, he's singing of the references to the rituals within the OTO. When you look at the Rolling Stones cover, they have the Scarlet Woman on Her Satanic Majesty's Request, right? That's the name of the album, right? So this is the most embedded order of magic that's coming out through our popular culture. And so when we say that the Mark of the Beast is the X-Men logo, it's not because we just decided, oh, this would be a keen one to follow. Look, this symbol is everywhere. We found it in the magical works of the Typhonian Order of the OTO. So here we are looking at this thing going, wait a minute, now this book is...
And this is the foundation for the Super Bowl prediction that we made. So this is all going somewhere. Yeah,
certainly. Right. Because as we started to uncover that symbol and look at this situation, and okay, so that is what they call the Mark of the Beast, the O and the X. And before... I mean, when we first brought this to the surface, this O and X symbolism as the Mark of the Beast, it wasn't as prevalent. Of course, you saw it on X-Files, saw it on X-Men, you saw it in certain places.
Xbox now, too, right?
The Xbox, the Macintosh OS 10, the operating system is now.
Beyonce has a song called XO with the dance.
Yeah, wow. XO.
And Russell Brand had a short-lived TV show called Brand X with, again, the circle and the X.
His picture is in my book with that big old trophy with the X and the O in it. And he's between his legs even because it's a sexual symbol. It's a hermaphroditic symbol.
I think weird stuff is where I learned that.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so all of this really to state that we are following a well-founded thread that we have been discussing for a decade. And have not had to, change a thing. As we look at the signs and symbols that are represented through the OTO and they're brought up in these high profile rituals, we're constantly right. When Madonna came out on the Super Bowl and she was performing her 33-minute sermon, as she called it, she is, of course, a Kabbalistic priestess. And she showed that Mark of the Beast on the stage numerous
times. With
the
VV in it, too.
With the VV, which was another symbol all the way back when W was being forced into office. I was talking about the connection to the VV and the fallen angels and how this related. And so all of this, I mean, we've been talking about since George W. Bush was in office, right?
Yeah.
And so, so after seeing them display these signs and symbols, which we were the only people to unveil this to the public eye, then we said, okay, well, maybe we got a little more confidence in this and maybe we could start making a prediction. So Jamie decided to lay out what she thought she would see from Katy Perry at the Super Bowl.
Well, I did this whole series of articles on Beyonce that I started actually back in 2009 or something when I noticed she was getting really huge and I hadn't published them until this year. So there's a lot of content in there right now. But... I was just following her career in relationship to what he was talking about, the OTO symbolism and the Scarlet Woman and the robotic and the alien things and the, basically their goddess is the Scarlet Woman, Babylon. Mm-hmm. So all of these symbols they were placing on Beyonce as the Scarlet Woman. And I said, well, if they want to get really in your face with it, they're going to have to put a girl riding a cat-like beast, a giant cat-like beast.
Interesting.
Right. But let me just say that I had added one more layer to that because that had taken the occult magical aspects of it, which she'll explain why she picked that out. But then we were looking, of course, deeper into the mind control aspects of this and how that would be shown out to the public. And so we knew that Katy Perry was a reflection of the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
That
she big is, time. I mean, she would even wear dresses with Obama's name ticked off of the ballot, right? Her dress was the ballot, and it said Romney or Obama, and it was checked off Obama.
And she was using her videos to show the
part of me where she joined the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we knew she was a military girl. So we looked to the triggers of mind control. And one of the main triggers that comes from the idea of a presidential model slave, which is like Marilyn Monroe and up, we consider her, Katy Perry, to be in this position.
Now, probably.
And so I said that the cat-like beast would also be glittery like diamonds or set up like diamonds. So we said a diamond cat-like beast. Wow. So okay. That's how specific we were.
Well, so I said a cat-like beast because in the Book of Revelation, you have the Whore of Babylon riding this beast up out of the abyss with the 10 heads and the crowns, right? I can't remember which is which, but this is on the tarot card of Aleister Crowley called Lust.
Right on.
And she's holding up the grail for the serpents of the ether to feast on, which they say what's in the cup is the blood of the saints. And even the beast is trampling on like praying hands and stuff like that. And so there was this one instance that I read about where Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, who were OTO, mm-hmm. Jack Parsons, actually his house was an OTO lodge. They were doing a magical working and Hubbard saw a vision of Babylon riding a great cat-like beast, and they recorded this and part it as part of their Babylon working. And so I said, you know, that's probably something that they're going to bring out because it's not exactly like the Whore of Revelation. Like, you can't pinpoint and say, oh, that's definitely the Beast of Revelation, but it's just one step away from that with the big lion, right? And so she's riding a lion, and why is she riding a big lion when the song says, I have the eye of the tiger?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people probably just gloss over that fact.
Right. And so lions, I mean, you can go crazy with symbolism behind lions because they are sacred to the goddess Inanna. And so Inanna was the first holy whore, the prostitute, courtesan of the gods. And this is what the first goddess that they're all emulating, in my opinion, is Inanna, because she became Ishtar in Babylon, and that was the Whore of Babylon. And so you can find all these reliefs. I mean, the oldest Sumerian Anunnaki, she was one of the Anunnaki, okay, Inanna was. And you can find her riding on the back of a lion with a leash on it, just like Katy Perry did. Huh. So that was like the first kind of goddess that they brought out in the Super Bowl. And then I kind of took the lion thing and ran with it because of some things I've been picking up about what's coming down the pike in Satanism, because they're always trying to push the envelope and make the society more satanic. But in my opinion, the lion for them means cannibalism.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, I hadn't really even thought about it until Jamie really brought this out, that the lion would really be the primal fear of man. That was the one creature that was above us in the
ancient food chain.
Food chain, yeah.
That makes sense.
And there was this story from a satanic ritual abuse survivor named Kurt Barker, and you can look up his books, but he had a story about these two sisters that were part of the satanic bloodline who were lovers. And they kept naked slave girls and had an Egyptian temple in their basement. And instead of the Sphinx's faces, they had their own faces, because all this Satanism is kind of about self-worship and making yourself God and what we call apotheosis, right? So they told him the story to the Satanist, the lion means cannibalism because the Sphinx originally had a lion's head because the lion was the top of the food chain in that area. And then when the pharaohs began to practice cannibalism, they changed the face of the lion to a pharaoh to signify that was the apex of the culture.
That's interesting. I've never heard that about the Sphinx. I heard people think that it might have been made when it was aligned with Leo, but I'd never heard that about switching it to a pharaoh because of being the apex of the food chain. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie.
I find the weirdest thing.
She has
I
an
don't
extensive
know.
Satanic library. <it's>,
Well, that's awesome. I mean, obviously, Katy Perry is one of the major pop stars that's being used as a canvas for a lot of this symbolism. And we've talked about other celebrities in the past and what makes up a monarch mind control slave. But as you've been looking at Katy Perry's career and background, what are some of the aspects you found that fit the typical profile for these monarch victims? Like, why her?
Okay, that's a good question, because what I found when I looked into her childhood was a very, very strict Christian upbringing. And this is something she has in common with Aleister Crowley and a lot of people who turn to the dark side because they were abused by Christians. So they're just trying to find their right place in the world. And they're saying, you know, if God and Christianity and Jesus is the abuser, I'm going to turn the opposite of that and be that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was very sheltered. She said the only book she could read was the Bible, and she knew what hell was before she knew what anything else was. And so she was pretty traumatized and sheltered by this childhood. But then digging a little deeper, I found out that her father, before he became a pastor, was a rambling hippie dude who dealt acid for Timothy Leary. Now, in our realms, just when I bring up Timothy Leary, you should have a lot of lights blinking up, right? Ding, ding, ding. This hits all these things because Timothy Leary believed that he was continuing the work of Aleister Crowley. He thought he had his spirit in him. He thought, you know, Thelema was the way of the world. And so he was putting this into the subculture of the 1960s all along.
Hmm. It's odd that she would have that connection.
Yeah, imagine right. That. Katy Perry's dad dealing LSD with Leary.
Right, and we know how involved the CIA and the Leary crew was in influencing music and putting drugs into music. I mean, it's not a far stretch to think a guy who was in that circle would allow his daughter to be used in some similar way.
But then something altered his complete course.
He had a spiritual epiphany, and he just turned to Christ, like, overnight.
Huh. And this caused strife within the family, didn't it?
Well, and then his wife, Katy Perry's mother, her family, Katy Perry's mother had a rich family from Santa Barbara. So that's another kind of like red flag right there. But they disowned the mother for marrying the Christian Katy Perry's dad.
Wow.
But now her dad is coming out saying, you know, she's a devil child and this is all wrong and they're worshiping the wrong thing, and he's weeping over her. You know, he's just milking it for all it's worth, right? Because I don't believe these big Christians one bit, these mega churches, these people that write these best-selling blockbuster books. I think they're all mind control.
Yeah, they live in mansions, and I can't remember the last time any of them actually helped someone.
Well, they even had a conference, and they're like, well, we can pay people to help the poor now. We don't actually have to, like, do what Jesus said to do. We can pay for that.
Right. So you mentioned earlier, like, Katy Perry being at, like, a higher level for one of these pop culture mind control slaves. And that is interesting, because when I see someone like Britney Spears, of course, she seems like she was chewed up and spit out. And then you see someone like Madonna, who seems like she's more in the club than necessarily a victim of it. Maybe that's just my perception, but
Well, I think there's different paths you can take to get to the top. And definitely if you're a bloodline, then the way is paved over for you. But if you're not, then you have to go through these initiations and these trauma rituals and actually go through the trauma-based program. And if you're willing to take these next steps, then you make the big bucks. And that's where you hear about these people who came from nothing and they made it, and then their family member died. And how many stories can you think of when that happened, right?
Right, right. That happens a lot. And of course, Katy Perry had an early start with Disney too, right? And that's suspect.
Well, Disney's always suspect. I mean, that's the first. Look at Britney Spears, right? She was a Mouseketeer, and so was Justin Timberlake. So was Christina Aguilera. So was Carrie Russell. So was that guy from The Notebook. I can't remember his name. I mean, all of the stars that you see today got their start in the gateway of Disney.
Yeah, yeah. And now I know we've talked about Disney a lot in the past, and now they've amassed even more power, owning Star Wars, owning Marvel. So yeah, their influence now in terms of entertainment, especially entertainment for anyone under 18, I mean, it's all Disney now.
Mm-hmm. All this began with a mouse. Walt Disney would always say that, and you can hear his creepy voice in the speaker when you go to Disney World, and it says it all began with a mouse, right?
Yeah.
But if we're talking about primal fears and how we relate to animals, I mean, a mouse is one of the most vile creatures that you can ever imagine. And I know, because I lived in Kansas, and you do not want to cohabitate with anything that's a rodent, I promise you.
Yeah.
It just seems like you guys have been picking up on patterns like a couple of Simon champions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we kind of love to do, because we want to look deeper into these symbols. You know, like I do a section in Weird Stuff too about hand signs and what they really mean, because I see a lot of these people take a thing and run with it, and they're getting it all wrong. Right. Let's talk about maybe the okay hand sign, where you put your index finger and your thumb together, and maybe they'll look through it with their eye. Right.
Right. We see that a lot.
So a lot of people say this is 666 or this is the Eye of Horus. But actually, if you look into a book, actual scholarly book, and this is the point I want to make, like, people don't read anymore. I mean, people can read, but they don't read. They just want to watch a video and
listen
to a podcast. Yeah, I know. These people are lazy out there.
And I did have to pay big bucks for that hand sign book.
Right. Okay, so this is what I found out, was that it was the sign of the Vesica Pisces, which means you're in the womb of the secret society. And there's nothing wrong with the Vesica Pisces. It's part of sacred geometry. But they're using it as a sign meaning you're in the club.
Right on. Yeah, you're right. I'm guilty of it myself, of talking about symbolism with just a kind of a layman's understanding. You mentioned that Moloch was never an owl, and that's interesting to me. So what do you make of the Bohemian Grove statue? Obviously, that's a big symbol. What was that?
The big cremation of Kara. Okay, so there is a really interesting relief in the British Museum called the Burney Relief. And the conspiracy theorists may have seen this, and they call it Ishtar, or the Queen of the Night.
They call her Lilith most of the time.
Right.
So it's the goddess with wings and claw feet, owl feet, with two owls sitting next to her.
And she's on the back of two lions.
Yeah.
Right? And originally this relief was painted red. And so they're kind of in debate whether it's Sumerian Inanna or Babylon Ishtar, but it's one of these. But it was the original Scarlet Woman.
Yeah, and they simply call it the Queen of the Night. And you'll see it depicted all the time. But so when you start to look to the owl symbolism, you consistently come back to the goddess. Athena had an owl. Minerva had an owl. On and on. You could go on.
And even the first degree of the Bavarian Illuminati of Weishaupt was called a Minerval, and their symbol was an owl on top of a book.
Right. That was the most common symbol of the Illuminati, next to the Target logo, the circumpunct.
Right. So there's another kind of misnomer that we can talk about right now, is like the eye in the pyramid is so much deeper and older and more ancient than 1776 or even...
It wasn't an Illuminati symbol. Yeah.
Right.
The eye in the pyramid was not a specific Illuminati symbol. Everybody just says that.
And there's a good passage in Weird Stuff Part 2 about the oldest artifact that they have found with the eye in the pyramid. And so you'll have to get that and read what's about.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. But so the owl, the owl mostly represents this goddess worship. And so it's an odd thing to us.
But and it's a night predator. So here we are back on predatory animals, right?
Right, right. The owl symbolism itself is the idea of being able to see 180 degrees, you know, because they turn their head around in the dark. And that's really what its meaning is. But then it's always correlated with the goddess. Mm-hmm. And most people don't recognize the goddess worship that's going on, because they just don't even consider that's the case. So when you start to realize Freemasonry's foundation in almost every civilization on the planet at this time, Freemasonry really holds the reins. There are presidents. There are.
Well, can I interject real fast? Because I don't want to get off topic, because this is really good, because it's part of another prediction I made. So let's talk about Molech for a second, mm-hmm. the bull, right? And so because of what happened with Katy Perry, I went on Clyde Lewis and they said, well, what do you think you might see at the Grammys? And I pulled out this big giant book, Secret Teachings of All Ages, our friend was visiting, and he had this really rare copy that's worth $3,000, and it has all the color plates, you know, and it's like 2 feet tall. And I got this picture out, and it had like all these symbols that we were talking about, and then it had this horned being, like a stag.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if they're in keeping with the OTO theme, then they're going to have to pull out some representation of their hidden god, Pan.
Hmm.
Right. So Pan is the hidden god of the OTO. He is the god of all. He is the, what do you call it? Fertility of the forest. I mean, total phallic worshiping rape god. Okay. If you read the poems, I'm serious. Huh?
I said, it seems like from what I hear, that might fit with the OTO.
Right.
Yeah, it even goes to the Led Zeppelin OTO connections when you hear Stairway to Heaven. And he says, if you hear a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now.
Right.
That's actually the line that supposedly when you play backwards says worship Satan.
Right.
But that is a reference to this very ritual of going out to have sex with Pan in the woods.
Right. Or Dionysus, or, you know, the horn god of the witches. Okay, so I said we have to have some horns. And then what's the first thing they did at the Grammys was AC/DC came out and played Highway to Hell, and everybody put on their light up horn headbands.
Right.
And then the ritualistic performance of the night was Madonna dressed as a matador, the Scarlet Woman, with all these bulls, again with a diamond mask, right?
Right, the diamond symbolism there again.
And yeah.
Now, part of the diamond symbolism is not just the presidential model mind control slaves, but it is also reputed, according to Fritz Springmeier's book, How to Create Your Own Undetectable Illuminati Mind Control Slave, quite a title for a book. You find that the diamond symbolism is also a trigger for sleeper agents. And that was really why I was kind of expecting to see the diamond symbolism. Now, to have it repeated again by Madonna was something else. You know, it's like a trigger sent out to the entire world to share this, you know, to awaken the sleeper agents, to awaken the sleeper mind control people. That's, according to Fritz Springmeier, what the diamond symbol does.
So maybe that's the message there. They're going to awaken sleepers who might happen to be watching the ritual.
That's the thought.
Wow. And so, yeah, that's who Molech really is the bull.
Yeah, Molech is a bull that was used in child sacrifice.
Exactly.
And the owl is a symbol of their goddess that they worship. And that's why our capital is the District of Columbia, or in Britain, it's Britannia. These guys have, you know, goddess worship at the core of this. And I, you know, I'm still trying to understand.
But it's not a Mother Earth goddess. So let's make that distinction right now. It's not that they're worshiping the divine sacred feminine. They're worshiping whoredom.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was going to say, because in such a male-dominated society, it seems odd that they would do some secret goddess worship. But, yeah, I mean, of course, it seems like it would have to be negative given all the things that they're doing.
It's using the feminine energy for their dark purposes, and that's what sorcery is.
The power of manifestation is in the feminine.
Right, and that if you go back to the very first things that the people wrote down in the beginning of history in Sumer, they're talking about this goddess Inanna, and Inanna's orgasm makes everything possible in life. Even though she's not a creatrix, it's actually her husband, Dumuzi. His semen is the river, and his sister is the flora. But it's Inanna's pleasure that actually makes the world go round.
Interesting. Now, another strange place we're seeing symbolism, Freeman, that I wanted to ask you about is CERN. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of buzz about them ramping up their work and the strange ritual dance that they did beforehand and their statue of Shiva, again, another female. What have you seen in your CERN investigations?
Well, it is a curious thing. And let's not forget that their corporate logo is 666 with a hyperdimensional portal. It's crazy because it could be 5 years ago and I would be talking and the same words would be coming out of my mouth. Because at this very moment, CERN is about to launch, but was shut down. Now, that occurred the very first time they turned on CERN. So when they launched CERN, there was reports coming in the alternative media saying time travelers will never allow CERN to turn on.
Right.
Right. And then just to fulfill that prophecy, in the most bizarre thing, in one report, it said it was an owl. In another report, it said a bird. But it seems a bird or an owl dropped a baguette onto the CERN electrical system somewhere out and shut the whole thing down.
Like that wouldn't be encased somewhere.
I know, right? I'm like, how did this happen? And of course, the news doesn't give you enough. Baguette, right? I mean, they knew that, right? They knew that.
It was swamp gas, too.
Yeah. So, of course, the time traveling crowd was all over it, you know, saying, look, you know, this is how it's going to happen. So lo and behold, here we are again, you know, some years later, I think it's been 3 or 5, whenever Obama got his Nobel Peace Prize, that was the last time CERN was at maximum power or world record levels. Now, when they turn it on this time, it's going to be twice as powerful. So these are teravolt TEVs is the structure that they base this out of. And so it was at about 5. Now it's going to go up to 7 or 10. And what they were concerned about when they first launched CERN was that it was going to create rogue black holes, because that's kind of the point. When they collide these particles, it actually forms a black hole so that they can see into the creation of the universe, right?
Yeah.
So they were concerned that maybe rogue black holes might start floating around sucking up things, or things that they called strangelets that they said would actually unzip reality. That these things could occur. But, right. You know, strange things did occur when CERN was at world record levels last time. As I said, Obama was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. That sounds like the world had flipped on its head. And the Norway spiral opened up in the skies that very same day. So it was kind of a bizarre day, and I'm curious. But so CERN got shut down this time, and another short circuit, and it's possible it might take 3 more weeks before they launch this again. And at the same time, they're going to be launching the X-37B again, the mini robotic space shuttle that is a military space plane. And so it's just like, I mean, there's no old shows on Freeman TV, you know? Everything keeps coming back around. So, yeah. All right. So CERN, that's pretty much where we're at, in, unless you want to get deeper into the ideas of antimatter, dark matter, or what?
Can I say something about CERN?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So Shiva is male, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah. But his wife was Parvati, but who could also be Kali. And Kali is definitely an aspect that they chose for their goddess Babylon. So we have Ishtar, Inanna, Kali, and the whore from the Book of Revelation makes up the Scarlet Woman of the OTO.
Mm. Yeah, now that's straight from OTO teachings, that Kali is the main representative of the goddess represented as the Scarlet Woman.
And this all gets so mixed up, and in a weird good way, because they would sacrifice goats to Kali, and Pan is the goat man god.
Right. But I was going to mention the connection to the other high profile ritual, which of course was Miley Cyrus and her sticking out her tongue.
Right.
Now, you know, they made a whole joke on Saturday Night Live about how she brought about the apocalypse with that performance. And of course, even Miley was part of that skit. And when she was sticking out her tongue, they asked her, "Why did you keep sticking out your tongue?" And she says, "Well, I'm having tiny strokes, yo." But it was so apparent, right? So obvious that it's become a meme.
Yeah.
And really, that was the representation of the Kali once again, Scarlet Woman. Once again, we're seeing the same signs and symbols, whether it be Madonna, Miley, Katie,
Beyonce,
and Britney, if you keep going back, same over and over and over again. So we're not wrong.
Madonna also released a new album, her 13th album with 13 tracks, and one of them is really crazy about the Illuminati too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she says it's not Kanye, it's not...
Not that. Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah, those lyrics are deep on that one, but I thought that was pretty cryptic. Of course, you'd expect that from Madonna.
Okay, speaking of Madonna, so her, right before Katy Perry's performance, her and Madonna did a photo shoot kind of for V Magazine. Now, this is one to watch for high or satanic things.
V Magazine?
V Magazine, yeah. And you got Katy and Madonna on the cover and this big V going into Madonna's vagina. And then in the spread, you have Katy Perry tying up Madonna in bondage. Now, this is one of the top 10 symbols of mind control in pop culture that I laid out in the Beyonce articles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's what we were going to get to. You're silent.
Yeah, and the bondage in there. So here's the old high priestess putting on another blessing to a new high priestess, just like we saw with her
Madonna and Britney.
And Britney. Now she's passing it on to Katy Perry.
Hmm.
Because in Rolling Stone magazine, right before she got the gig for the Super Bowl, the summer it came out with her and Rolling Stone, where that was the one where she says, "What's the Illuminati? I'd like to be in it."
Katy Perry said that, yeah.
And bam, she's slated to be in the Super Bowl. And so I think that's kind of, these are like levels that they have to get past to be the superstar that they want.
Yeah, initiations of their own.
Man, right.
It's so deep. Another point I wanted to make about CERN is just the other day, I had heard that one of the head scientists there had actually been quoted as saying, well, we're going to punch a hole through another dimension and something may come through. And I was like, what? Something may come through? Are you trying to summon Cthulhu or Baphomet here? That's pretty freaky stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that was when they were launching it the first time. And you can find that quote on my site under the Future Outlook site. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where we're at. Okay, so when we start to look at this situation of technology and the occult, that's when you start to really unfold this picture of why there's a bit an apple on our computers. And
E.T., the song.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because it's got some of that in there. Well, let's just get to... Okay, so when we go all the way back, let's go back to television. We see the television was actually designed by a magical order known as the Golden Dawn. And the device was called a Crookes tube. Mm-hmm. And this then became the cathode ray tube that we now use in our televisions. But its initial purpose was to make connections with the other side. Mm-hmm. And the very first symbol that they sent through the Crookes tube to the other dimension was a Maltese cross, which, of course, you'll find connected with the Illuminati and with the Nazis.
Knights Templar.
And the Knights Templar. So... this is what television was for. It was a
Ouija board, a digital Ouija board.
Yeah, an attempt to make communications with the other side. So you can see that when we started coming up through all our science and technology, you get to jet propulsion laboratories and you find that our rocketry and all of that that goes along with it, this includes robotic space planes, is designed by people that are practicing ritual magic from the OTO, because, of course, Jack Parsons. Being one of the main scientists, the lead scientist for jet propulsion, brought us modern rocketry with the Nazi Wernher von Braun and all the other Nazi scientists.
Who would do a ritual to Pan before every rocket launch? Because Pan is the phallus and a rocket is the phallus.
Boom.
So.
Right. So this is what's going on, guys. You know, those of you out there listening, this is not just modern science. This is the occult attempting to find a technological means of creating these occult practices. So CERN is a classic example of what this is, of punching a hole into the other dimension like Hellboy in the hopes of opening a portal to the other side. Now, they did put a device on the International Space Station to see the anti-universe. And it was put up by a corporation called Grawlator. And Grawlator's corporate logo is a reptilian claw.
And yet NASA's got the reptilian tongue, so they're not too far off.
Yeah. You mean in the logo?
Yeah. Like they both kind of have a reptilian body part in their logo.
Mm. Right.
But that's more of a hermaphroditic symbol, too, with the V going into the circle of NASA.
Right.
Fair point. I always kind of just thought of it as a reptilian tongue, but that's my layman's understanding. Well, go ahead. You were saying they can see into antimatter or dark matter?
Yeah. See the anti-universe. So to be able to see this dark matter. Now, the whole point is perhaps to figure out why gravity happens and what causes, you know, things to stick to the Earth. There's many, many things that will come out of the CERN science, but... the strange thing was that at this moment, they were really trying to solidify the concept in the public's mind that aliens are real and that we are going to have to deal with this very soon. So one of the main two people that were going out and really spreading this message were the Vatican lead astronomers. So this is really bizarre. So you're talking about lead astronomers of the Vatican, Consul Magno and Benjamin Funes, that are running around saying aliens are space brothers, but did not suffer original sin because they weren't born of Eve. And then the other, Consul Magno, he's saying, well, I would baptize any alien, no matter how many tentacles they had. Right? So... just really bizarre that the two heads of the Vatican astronomy would be the ones that were saying this, but then they were attached to CERN. They now have their own office at CERN, and they just happen to be attached to CERN right as this alpha magnetic spectrometer, the device that sees the anti-universe, was launched up to the International Space Station.
Wow. Yeah, man. Crazy. So,
Yeah. So now we're talking about this whole concept of opening a hole into the other dimension. We've got, Jesuit priests in charge. We have ambassadors to extraterrestrials forming all over. So the UN, they have their Office of Outer Space Affairs. They have Maslin Hoffman as their head. NASA has an extraterrestrial ambassador, Linda Rothschild. Stick a Rothschild in there to meet the aliens. I think Jamie should be the extraterrestrial ambassador, honestly.
I want to.
I'd vote for you. But man, this interface between occult ritual and technology, you do such a good job on that. And I find it fascinating because any large group of scientists that were on the cutting edge, you can almost go throughout history and track that there's a really crazy fascination with the occult, whether it's Nazis, they obviously had a fascination with it, Jack Parsons, even the Manhattan Project. When Oppenheimer launched it, he said some cryptic thing from some ancient text.
From the Mahabharata.
Yeah, I am the Destroyer, yeah. Which, again, it's like...
That's Shiva.
It's like, yeah. Why are you into this stuff? I mean, NASA, of course, with all their... the way they name things, it's all very cryptic and symbolic, and now CERN.
And now you have, the SpaceX. So we're back to that OX again. SpaceX is Elon Musk's rocket, which is the Dragon. It's got a Dragon capsule being launched on using Merlin engines, right? So SpaceX, of course, has taken over for NASA. And NASA has gone private and military, but all of the space program for launching to the International Space Station is now up to Elon Musk and SpaceX. Other than that, the launches...
Who just appeared on Simpsons.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, they're really trying to push him out now.
Right.
Because the other main launch facility is in Russia, in Kazakhstan. At the Cosmodrome, that's where the majority of the launches to the International Space Station occur. And they just launched up a host of astronauts that are going to be on the International Space Station for a year. Now, this has been a really big problem because the astronauts' bodies deteriorate without gravity. And they've been trying to find solutions for this. While they've been loading up the International Space Station with stem cells. There's been at least 13 or 16 stem cell projects going up to the International Space Station in the hopes of discovering longevity or, quote unquote, immortality for these astronauts. So all of this is actually going on orbiting our heads at this time, and people just aren't even aware.
Oh, man. And I guess I would ask you about Elon Musk. You're right. That he's been thrown out there so much. Obviously, there's a rhyme and a reason to this. There was a story circulating a few weeks back where he was talking about free energy, basically creating batteries to power homes. And then now he says there's going to be an announcement at the end of this month that has nothing to do with a car. And I'm curious because on one hand, you're pointing out it's obvious that if someone's in the club that much and is that rich, they probably don't have humanity's best intentions at heart, but we've also been hearing about free energy for so long. I'm hopeful, but this could be some type of rollout.
Yeah, they're not. We've got to release the chains, and really, that's what my speech at Free Your Mind this April 10th through 12th.
Fair. There are no saviors.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I'm going to be discussing. It's us. We can't rely on these people that are trying, because we know they're never going to release the reins. They're just, you're not going to get free energy, free housing, unless we decide.
Who wants to live in the Venus Project anyway? That looks gross.
Very technocratic.
That's for sure. Oh, it's so inhumane.
Well, okay, even the creator of it, Jacques, what's his name?
Jacques Fresco.
He hates kids and he imagines a world where nobody has to give birth or raise kids.
Yeah.
And this is his mentality, trying to create a pre-planned civilization for people to live in, and they have no idea what people need.
Yeah, there are some aspects of that of his thing that kind of creep me out, but I definitely love the idea of a moneyless society that uses technology to free people from menial jobs so they can enjoy their life. But that's probably the extent of where I...
Who doesn't? We don't need high technology to live. They did it just fine for 1,000 years before Europeans got here.
Yeah, that is true. I was also going to ask you if you thought there was any significance in CERN getting started up right after the equinox. Do you feel like that plays in at all?
A lot of people were throwing out there this whole supermoon, equinox, eclipse situation that happened, the trifecta, as they've been calling it. And no, I didn't really think that it was going to correlate with that myself. And I even expected troubles because of all the constancy of their shutdowns. So I've been watching CERN quite closely and we'll continue to report on it and keep, you know, everybody up to date to make sure we know when it launches and what's going on and when it, because once it launches, they just put a particle in there. That doesn't mean they're going to be colliding. It'll be another few more months before they actually collide the particles. And that's when people should be a bit more concerned.
Right. When your life suddenly ceases to exist, you'll know they did something.
Yeah. 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 Right. And, you know, recognize that the symbolism of the colliders as well, the name Atlas. Atlas is actually the king of Atlantis. And when you get into these occult orders and even Freemasonry, you find that Atlantis becomes a very real thing. So, you know, there it is right there in the symbolism along with Alice and the idea of going through the looking glass. But there are other particle colliders around the globe that people aren't talking about. Actually, in Romania, they're building the most sophisticated particle collider ever crafted. So that should be an intriguing thing to see. And then in America, we have the RIC, or the Relativistic Heavy Ionic Collider. And the RIC, their colliders are called Phoenix and Star. And this gets to the Sirius star and the idea of rebirth in the Phoenix. And at the RIC, they actually collided gold particles and folded space-time. So now we're getting to the ideas of using these things for time travel.
Man, it's so nuts. I can't even rationalize why these scientists would want to do some of this stuff. It's like, I sometimes wonder if they're possessed by some entity from beyond, in the way that like Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters is kind of possessed to to help his guy manifest.
There is only Zool.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, why would they do this? You know, why would you want to be involved in something that seems like a roll of the dice when you're talking about destroying the fabric of reality or ripping it open?
And nations are fighting nations to be a part of CERN. And the last little bit of CERN is that they have the most sophisticated computing network ever crafted. And of course, CERN brought us the World Wide Web. But they have the LHC grid, which stands for the Large Hadron Collider grid, which is actually a massive interconnected direct fiber optic line network of computers, the biggest ever, and is capable of pushing massive amounts of information to the point that it is capable of things like mind transfer technologies or dumping your soul into the CERN computer. But nations are fighting nations to be able to pay to be with CERNs and be a part of CERN. And they actually disallowed America from being a part of the LHC grid, this supercomputer, because they fear that we will use it. I say we as them. America will use it for their Big Brother campaign. So we're actually locked out. America is locked out of the CERN grid computer so that the NSA won't utilize it.
Interesting. I have heard you say on some other shows to be watchful of the Russia-China alliance in terms of the secret space program or the secret space war. What is so important about that? What should we be watching for with Russia and China?
Yeah, that was something that came across my desk way back again when W was in office. I made the projection to say that America will go to war with Iran, and this will be the spark that causes World War III, sparking a war with the Russia-China alliance. Now, many people don't even know there is such thing as a Russia-China alliance, but there is. They have been unified in many of their goals in there. And when we start to look at what the New World Order wants as their base system of operations for the world, China is it. You know, just a horde of slaves working for the over elite. and no one has any say or anything, and you know, and any involvement whatsoever. But what you learn right now is, as America is shutting down all of its space programs, kind of crumbling in its own weight, the Russia, China are launching massive amounts of satellites, space technologies. China already has a military space station orbiting the planet. People don't know that. And they have formed this major space race. So we know, they've always known, whoever controls space controls the planet. And I really think that the powers that be are utilizing the different belief systems of these nations to finally coalesce into this singular mind. And so they used America for the necessary time that they needed it. Now they'll let it crumble while they'll rise up. Because if you go to Kazakhstan and you see Astana, their capital city in there, you find that it is the most modern city you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it's bizarre. It looks like aliens built it, right? You know, giant glass pyramid of peace that you walk through where all the different nations' religions gather. This is where the central religion will be founded, inside of this pyramid of peace. And it's got these massive copper pylons that are skyscraper high with a big buckyball. And, you know, in the buckyball, there's even a thing like a Total Recall where you'll see a golden triangle and the architect's hand is pressed into the gold. And it's kind of formed in a weird way where two fingers are together, a lot like what you saw in Total Recall. And so we get the representation through the mind control programming of the mainstream media that Kazakhstan is some sort of backwater, people living in huts and having sex with their sisters because Borat, you know?
That's all we know about it.
Yeah, exactly. And yet this is they're building the first ever indoor city. They've got the most sophisticated high-tech buildings going on and everything. And all, like I was saying, all the massive launches are going out of this region. So China, Russia are set to rule and dominate space. Mm. And that's, you know, that's the end game right there, really. Yeah.
Well, you are right. Tensions have definitely been mounting for a long time, and they seem to be escalating and snowballing more and more. And it's always like, man, how much more tense can things get before they get really out of hand? But it's tough because as Americans, of course, you know, we don't want to get involved in any kind of war and have missiles attack us. But at the same time, like, we are living on the team of the muscle for the Rothschild banking network. It's hard to really be like, it's just hard to know what you want to happen for the good of the world when there are countries that want to stand up to that network and they're not the one you live in.
Yeah, we're all getting played. So I wish all of humanity across the world, I know you have an international listening ship, that, you know, we're all getting played. There's no winners here.
Yeah, fair point. Now, another weird node on the pop culture radar I wanted to bring up to you is Buzz Aldrin. I mean, he was doing a media blitz, but he also took this photo at Stonehenge with his shirt wide open that said, NASA, get your ass to Mars. It was plastered everywhere for like a week or so. And I thought it was weird. I know how NASA usually has messages behind what they do. Could you read between the lines anything out of that?
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Buzz Aldrin, man. Now, okay, let's realize he's 33rd degree Freemason that launched to the moon and established the Tranquility Lodge on the moon.
And one of them did the ritual to Isis in the pod while the other one went out, right?
Right, right. We've been to all the Mason temples and interviewed these people and have film of all of these things to show with everyone. So, you know, realize who Buzz Aldrin is and how this all plays in. Then he went around announcing that there was this monolith on the moon of Mars called Phobos.
Yeah.
Now, Phobos and Deimos, which mean fear and panic, are very strange moons. They don't orbit in the way that we would expect them to orbit. I think
are
Phobos.
Moons of Saturn?
Huh?
It's moons of Saturn?
No, the Mars.
Oh, moons of Mars.
No one ever reported moons on Mars until 1877. So it was as if they never existed until that moment. Now, there were plenty of telescopes pointing at Mars. There were people even talking about the canals and the structures that they were seeing on Mars. I mean, Mars has fascinated planet Earth for, you know, ever.
Yes.
And people have seen all kinds of things being done there. So Phobos and Deimos, these two strange moons, suddenly appear. And the space programs are very interested in it. So Russia launched at least six Phobos investigatory satellites. And all were lost.
Damn.
Every time a satellite goes to Phobos, they lose communication with it. Now, Phobos 2, I believe it was called, the name of the satellite, actually photographed a 14-mile-long flying saucer before losing contact with ground control.
Oh, shit.
So now, let me just say that I forgot her name, but the head of the Russian space agency, or the lead scientist in charge of this Phobos project, went all around the world showing this 14-mile-long craft, saying, look, you know, look what's going on. And America has launched their Phobos project. And the last time we tried to photograph Phobos, and we were even going to see, okay, so the point I was getting to was that Buzz Aldrin has been running around telling the world that there is a monolith on Phobos that was, he, according to him, was either placed there by God or aliens. Now, there are pictures of it, so, you know, it does exist. Well,
that's interesting that you brought up the monolith, because in my third part about Katy Perry, I was totally talking about, well, do you know, in the commercial for the Super Bowl, they had the monolith, but it was a Pepsi machine.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is from... well, you can also see it in 2001 Space Odyssey, right, where the cavemen are like worshiping the monolith, and this represents a evolutionary leap in mankind.
In consciousness.
In consciousness, yeah.
And whose symbol is it?
Temple of Set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy that there's a monolith out there. I mean, and they only were discovered in 1877. People talk about, you know, who built the moon or who parked the moon there as some type of observation ship. It's kind of crazy that you'd think these things were only there 200 years when we're told everything in our solar system has existed for millions of years. I mean, maybe someone pulled them into orbit and is shooting down our satellites every time we get close.
Yeah, it's curious. You know, one of the stories that actually does mention moons of Mars is Gulliver's Travels. And yet no one had ever seen them yet at this point. So that, because you know, after that, you still don't hear about them. But so this Buzz Aldrin actually went on Worldwide Wrestling and on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Now, these are two very strange audiences to be talking about monoliths being put on the moons of Mars by aliens. You know, Worldwide Wrestling and Dancing with the Stars. But he was pushing this. And this is how strange. So now we've got the Mars situation. We can look at what's going on Mars. We see the polar caps. We can see that there are clouds and that it appears to me as if someone has been terraforming Mars for some time.
Wow.
There
Let
is.
Let him go.
Huh?
Let him go.
Yeah, right. Let him go. No doubt. So, you know, we now have this idea of the one-way ticket to Mars, and there's more people than they can possibly handle that want to go to Mars and live. But there's also stories that we get from the alternative media of ideas like the rover on Mars photographed a man coming over to dust it off when the rover got stuck, you know. I do believe there's a Martian colony. I really do. And I do believe that there's probably pre-life on Mars. And I believe in the Cydonian complex and the pyramids on Mars, the face on Mars, all of that stuff. So I absolutely personally have a belief that from my studies that life existed on Mars in the ancient past and was devastated and destroyed. And I personally believe it's white people that lived on Mars, and the darker people were from Earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Martians have always been known as this warrior tribe and the dominators. And, you know, from Mars is the god of war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this would be the white people. And, you know, white people just suddenly showed up in the Caucasus Mountains out of the blue. No one really knows where they came from or why they were there. And we're so strange compared to all the other Earthlings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember having that conversation with you on the Don Peyote bus, and we talked about possible existence of another planet, or that the orbits have moved, because if white people were originally from Mars, that's why we'd have lighter skin, because, you know, white people could live at the equator their whole life and they'd never turn black.
Exactly. Hey, Dan Fogler decided to show up at Free Your Mind this year and air Don Peyote one more time. So right after my presentation at Free Your Mind, Dan Fogler will be taking the stage and showing Don Peyote to everyone. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that is so awesome. I have him to thank for getting into Comic-Con last year. He actually came outside and gave me his badge, and I snuck in under his name.
Awesome.
Man, I would love to go to Free Your Mind. It's just so far, and if I was going to do the conspiracies thing, it's hard to fly with tubs of T-shirts, so I'd have to drive, and driving from San Diego to the East Coast is just not something I want to do right now.
No, I don't blame you one bit. I'm not in any hurry to get back to California.
I hear you. Well, right on, guys. It is always a pleasure. I had a blast on the Don Peyote tour bus with you guys. You were great friends to lean on during my first acid trip.
That was fun. We almost died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
We literally almost went over a cliff in a school bus.
Yeah.
No, a city bus.
A city bus, yeah.
I know we all have great footage of that adventure. I wanted to put something together, but I couldn't get all the footage from some of the other people that were on the bus. But it was a real blast. And also, you know, we had that project plan. I was really disappointed when Rob Davin kind of disappeared on us at the launch of our Conspiracy HQ project. We got all our listeners excited, and then he mysteriously disappeared. That was my first brush with oddities in this realm, I would have to say.
Yeah, I have to agree. And, you know, but I guess, Greg, it's just better for us to stick to our own guns.
Right.
Because, you know, as much as we would like to bond, it just, man, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. And we have all learned, you know, the hard way, that it is best. You kind of have to do your own thing. Ultimately, we are friends and partners in a loose sense. We're after the same kind of thing. But, you know, we're ultimately responsible for our own bills. And we cannot put that in the hands of other people. We've been burned too many times. But before we go, you know, definitely tell the people about some of the stuff you're doing over at FreemanTV.com and this upcoming Free Your Mind conference, too.
All right. Well, for the Free Your Mind conference, I'm going to be doing a lot of live broadcast video, live broadcast for the members section. So if you want to get part of that, then subscribe to Freeman TV, and I'll be picking the brains of all the different hosts or guests and also audience members that have crazy things to share. There's always plenty of those, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to have a great time just sharing all of that. My talk will happen on Friday, April 10th, and I'm going to throw in some magic tricks and some juggling shows, so it's going to be a lot of fun, because I'm trying to break us out of that mental perspective of this all has to be dire and start to you know, nurture the childlike play within people, because I believe that's really the solution.
Mm-hmm. That's the solution for trauma-based mind control, is nurturing your inner child.
So we feel like the entire planet is actually PTSD'd and needs or PTSD'd and yeah. Needs to come out of this through nurtured childlike play. And so I'll be talking a lot about that. And we're just going to keep broadcasting, Greg. You know, we're going to keep digging deeper. I wish I could get a chemtrail pilot on the air, you know. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm out there scouring people trying to find these sources, and I'm digging into professors and trying to go in places where people haven't looked before. I have a lot of connections inside of these secret organizations, so I want to utilize a lot of that mm-hmm. as well to bring these stories out. But we're just going to keep producing and keep doing our articles, our books, and our videos and radios.
Every week at 8 p.m.
Every week, every Saturday at 8 p.m. We put out another show for you. And plus all of the exclusive articles that we keep pumping out that we hope people will share more and more, because that's really critical for us to be able to make it, is if people will share this stuff on their Facebooks, Twitters, and all of that good stuff. Makes all the difference in the world. It's so simple, and we live in a time right now where a small portion of people can make a big difference. So I think it's really an exciting time.
So true. Man, I know Free Your Mind is going to be great. I wish I could get out there and hang out with you guys, but it's just not in the cards this time. But definitely, people, check out their podcast and what they're doing over there. There's a lot of great videos. I mean, you've got how many thousands of hours?
Well, it's 10 years. So 10 years every day of the week. I mean, every week of the year, sometimes three or four times a week. So, yeah, there's 10,000 hours. It would take you, you know, a year and a half if you just started watching and listening to everything straight, listening to nothing else. But I definitely want to say there's no such thing as an old show on Freeman TV. Everything comes back around, and I could play a show 5 years old and it would still be just as relevant right now.
Yeah, like good old-fashioned trends, conspiracy trends.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks again. It's been a real pleasure. Love you guys, and have a great trip.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
For sure. There we have it, guys. Wow. I love those two, and they never fail to impress. I like the pinball nature of the show because they both have their areas of expertise, and I think we wove back and forth in a great way. I don't know. In the Plus show, for anyone who is on the fence about signing up for THC Plus and just hasn't pulled the trigger yet, in this bonus hour, we talked about Freeman's research into some strange solar activity. You know, we've been talking about the Earth and the Moon a lot lately, but not much about the Sun, so that was interesting. Talked more about the ancients and the idea of mapping the galactic seasons, more stories of science trying to contact entities with technology, Madonna's DNA cleanup crew, cloning, mind transfer technology, and then we swung back into Jamie's territory to talk about her research into the Queen Bee herself, Beyoncé, aka Sasha Fierce, aka Yonce, aka another Project Monarch mind control slave. We also talked about some of these pop stars speaking out through Twitter in a way that they never could before, and we are getting some interesting insights into their, you know, quote-unquote breakdowns when that happens, and we get little glimpses into that dark world of theirs. So it's a great second hour to add along to all the others lately, and the Plus members have been so active in the comments, and they asked me for a forum, because of course a forum allows a little bit more structured communication than just a comment thread. So I spent a couple of days giving it to them, and I've tried and failed at a forum in the past, but now, because everyone already has a login for the Plus site, it's closed to outside spam and soliciting and the hassle of making an account just for a forum. So I think it's going to be a lot easier to maintain in that closed environment. And it's pretty active already, so I'm psyched about that. I get a lot of emails. Sometimes I get 24 or so a day from just listeners that I want to respond to all of them, but it does get kind of overwhelming if I let just a day or two go by. But the forum is awesome. Listeners can actually talk to each other and expand on some great ideas, and I've gotten some emails about great ideas, and it's kind of sad that they just die with me, and I just write back, oh, dude, that's awesome. But, you know, this is pretty cool. And I'm happy to do it for them since they help make my dream come true. And it's another reason to sign up for Plus. So it is getting better all the time. And, you know, that's kind of what I say. When you're working towards your dream, it can be overwhelming because you get this perfect picture in your head of the end game and how great you want it to be. And you can get hung up on how to manifest that from mind to reality. It can be very paralyzing. You're stuck in those upper realms of the Kabbalah and you just can't bring it down to the human level, so they say. But I know people who have had their own business up in their head for 10 years, but the 3D holographic reality we live in would never know it. And I get that, but something I try to remind people of is not to focus on how to get to the immediate perfection that you have in your head. Just focus on progress a little bit each day, even if you're only teaching yourself some aspects of the business that you want to have. You just got to be constantly tweaking, and I don't mean crack, but definitely support Freeman and Jamie if you find them captivating. Freeman's podcast is great too, probably better than mine even. Crow's first article went great. He's going to explore more of the Hattie Bow research, the octaves, the spider beans, and more about the makeup of the moon and the rest of the cosmos. The next one of those should be coming out this following Friday, and the shows are going to be a little sporadic this month, but what else is new? I've just been finding so many great researchers that I find myself trying to record way too many shows, which take me a lot of research on the front end. But what can you do? There's just so much interesting shit going on right now. And I will have 5 shows for you by the end of the month, I promise, of course. I've even got a few recorded already, and I really love all of them, except one. One is just too much of a review of things we've already known. So I think I'm just going to put that one out as a 2-hour free show and consider it extra for everybody. And no disrespect for the guest, I don't want to call them out here, but if you're paying attention this month, you'll know. And with that, I'm probably going to get out of here. I've done my part this week. Thanks, everybody. Your move, occult scientists of CERN. Your frickin' move.
Fireside Chats, we explore the world's deepest conspiracies, its mysteries, and the all-around fringe on a quest that can't be sponsored by anyone but the loyal listeners looking to take that ride. So if you enjoy the first hour of the show, courtesy of those subscribers, we hope that you'll consider becoming one for just $5 a month, and you'll get a second hour of each THC episode, where we pack in twice as much interesting content with all our great guests. Just sign up on our members' website at thehiresidechatsplus.com, and you'll have instant access to all the extended content since Plus began, an opportunity to make topics and guest suggestions, and your own custom RSS feed, where you'll hear the full 2-hour show in one convenient, uninterrupted file. And most importantly, you won't hear this repetitive reminder at the start of every show that listener-supported communities are the future of media and entertainment. And you want to be part of that future, don't you?